RadioInfluence.com.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. There's a whole lot to talk about this week. Our team, the Buccaneers, did not play, but there was a whole lot of football, and I got a chance to inhale everybody else's football teams out there, good, bad, and indifferent. We're going to talk about a lot of those games, what I kind of got out of, what's important these days, because it seems like it's changing, but not really. And, you know, talk about 32 cities overreacting. No, actually 30, because two didn't play. We're kind of lucky, or the NFL was lucky, that both Florida teams, or two of the Florida teams, played each other, because both Miami and Tampa Bay would have had to have canceled, probably not knowing what they were going to come back to. They were supposed to play each other last week, the Bucs and the Dolphins. They'll be playing later on this year. And, you know, I've heard some players, I know Chris Baker has complained out loud about playing 16 games in a row. To me, it's not about playing 16 games in a row. What really sucks is that your bye week is a week after training camp. That sucks. That's the worst. I don't think that's ever happened before. If so, as a player, I'm pissed. That's the worst week to get off. You're dying to get back on that football field. So the Bucs are going to play 16 straight weeks. Is it a big deal? Doesn't have to be. It just doesn't have to be. I watched a lot of football. I watched all of it, actually. You know, because we went through the storm this week, and I hope everybody stayed dry and safe. Irma, you know, after we had a couple scares a few years ago, after those scares, I said to myself, I'm never going anywhere, and I'm not gonna, because I'm just seeing too many people fleeing from Tampa and going to Lakeland. Okay? Tampa had 70 mile an hour winds. Lakeland had 140 something. So where are you going, you know? Orlando got hit worse than Tampa. So, listen, go with the odds. It doesn't hit Tampa. Now, I think some people in certain spots, it's wise, okay? Like, my buddy lived in Key West, Steve Everett, that I played with in Philadelphia, good friend of mine. Listen to his fortune. He lives in Key West. He had no choice. You had to evacuate, okay? He lives in Big Pine. Like, literally, the storm sat down, or it hit land first at Big Pine. And from what I saw, pictures smashed. There's boats on the road. So a lot of stuff has to happen for a boat to be on the road, okay? I don't know if they went over houses, but there's a lot of boats on the road. A lot of boats. So it touched down at Big Pine. You know, it's at its strongest when it first touches land, and it loses strength as it goes. I feel like I'm almost a meteorologist now because I've been listening to weather. And Dave Osterberg and Paul Delegato and all those people like that. So I feel like I'm almost a storm expert because I've been listening to the same thing over and over. So my buddy Steve had to evacuate, left, went to Fort Myers to some relatives. That's the second place it touched down was Fort Myers. So I'm going back and forth with him all week. And afterwards, he's like, dude, I got two eyes of the storm. You know, what are the odds of that? So he went through a lot, and I can't imagine being from Key West and having to go back. First of all, just getting back is going to be a son of a gun. I don't know how you're going to get back. That's going to be hours and hours. I don't know how long. But you have no idea what you're getting back to. But you know you got to get back. It's your house. So that's just something you don't want to wish that on your biggest enemy. So, you know, people that live on the water, I live a few blocks off of Bayshore. So if water gets to me, there's a whole lot of other people that are in big, big trouble. Okay. That's my mindset. And I don't feel like I'm going to die in my house, but once again, I don't live on the water, and I don't think things are going to come smashing through my window. Okay. it's still possible, but I'm in a pretty darn safe place. The person who built my house was obsessed with storms, and it's the safest house I've ever been in, period. He was ready for the storms. So my wife did a great job of securing the house. That's, you know, she was into that, and we were safe. And listen, our lights barely flickered, so we were very, very blessed. But we did miss a football game. It kind of sucks to wait a whole off season and be optimistic about your football team playing, and then I'm not playing in the first week. But it could be worse. The Buccaneers are going to play the Bears this week at home. So listen, you got to beat the Bears. They didn't look terrible. They didn't look terrible. They looked okay. But like I said, there's 32 cities overreacting today, okay? I'm telling you. All of a sudden, the Patriots are terrible. They're terrible. I heard somebody saying, oh, no, Patriots are going to have a hard time making the playoffs. Get the hell, get over yourself, okay? Who's your team? And would anybody bet right now that your team's going to win more games than the Patriots? You would bet that? Who's your team? Like, I don't know if I would still pick another team to win all those games. I mean, everybody has its flaws. The Patriots lost a game to a pretty well-seasoned Kansas City team, okay? Pretty damn well-seasoned. So there was a lot of things that were going on that I absorbed this week. That Kansas City Patriots game for me, I just think Kansas City is a good football team. You know why? Because they have a lot of good football players, okay? It's not just because the Patriots look terrible. Kansas City has a guy on their team that had 20 sacks last year. Kansas City has a guy who just, you know, got knocked out for the season, and Eric Berry, who locked up Gronkowski all by himself. Who else has that? You have to have that to be great. So Kansas City has a quarterback that wins. He's not flashy, but he wins. And they got a hell of a running game too, all right? You know, looking at the games that went on this week, there was two big factors, and I'm going to break them down later. There's two big factors. Running the ball. And you know what? You don't have to have 200 yards rushing, but you have to run the football. I know everybody says it's a passing league, but look around. Teams that run the football win, I'm telling you. And it's not so much running for 200 yards, because if you have six attempts for 200 yards, that's not a big deal. Teams that could run the ball and there's rushing attempts, those are the ones that really, to me, win football games. And teams with mean, nasty defensive lines. And I'm talking about in the NFL, I'm talking about in college football, everywhere. In college football this week, you're looking at the great teams. They all have great defensive lines. Ohio State didn't look great, but they come at you. Alabama comes at you. Clemson comes at you. The Florida Gators used to come at you. That's when they were great. They ain't great no more. Okay? So mean, nasty, running the football. It's a shame that Eric Berry's going to be out for the season with an Achilles. He just went through all that with fighting cancer. And it's tough, you know. He just signed a six-year, $78 million contract. And you know, that's not a big deal. It's not like you thought Eric Berry was going to lay down after he got his money. He ain't that guy. So I hate to see people like that, players like that, go out. Now, with all this stuff going on, you know, I like to sit down somewhere and relax and watch football. I sat down on my couch on Sunday. I looked up on the TV. I put the guide on, and there was one football game, which I believe was blacked out because of the storm. So I'm just sitting in my house on Sunday thinking, there ain't no damn way I'm sitting on a Sunday without watching football, because I'm going to be honest with you, I've never done it. I've never not watched football on Sunday. Never. So I went to my little corner bar, Elmer's, where, you know, the real people hang out. And, you know, you think storms is going to affect our economy? Some people made out like a fat cat. Like people with corner stores, anybody selling gas, anybody selling water, made out like a fat cat. Like people have tree companies, roofers, they're about to get paid. Elmer's, okay, normally, and this was day of the game, Sunday, packed with people, because he was one of the few people that opened from like 11 to 5, packed with people. And I was one of them sitting there having my little vodka and soda. He made out, okay? So I sat in there and watched most of the games. He had most of the games on. And the ironic part was the big storm came on Sunday night. Sunday, he opened as well. Packed with. I've never seen that many people at Elmer's ever. I went there at 4:30 in the afternoon on Monday, and it was packed with people. So he made out like a fat cat. Good for him. Good people, Randy, over there at Elmer's. But looking around this week, there's a little bit more celebrations going on. Listen, people are there to be entertained. I don't know anybody who's against celebration. You know what I mean? Everybody likes to see your team celebrate. As long as it's not, you know, without taste, have a little couth. But the NFL, I'm happy that they're loosening up a little bit. They're still going to pull it back in. Watch. They don't love that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's funny when you're looking at all the commercials out there and the type of players that are getting endorsements. You know who I saw having endorsements this week? Okay. Number one, Odell Beckham. Okay. Odell Beckham acts an ass all the time. So everybody says, why are they acting that way? It's because they're put. Listen, back in the day, Deion Sanders was great. We know that, right? How many endorsements did Deion Sanders get? It's because he was colorful. Okay. How many endorsements you see Daryl Green have? None. Daryl Green was also, a Pro Bowl Hall of Fame cornerback, but didn't say anything. These flamboyant players get endorsements. Josh Gordon got an endorsement, a big time one too. And I'm like, yeesh, you know, oh boy. You know, I guess you could say whatever the hell you want and do whatever the hell you want, I guess. So, you know, all these people, you know, obviously looking at J.J. Watt and what he did in Houston, boy, I tell you what, first of all, I think he did it from his heart. Obviously, that's his city, and there's probably not a more popular person there before all this. After this, he could run for whatever he wants. But he did amazing for his city. He did an amazing thing for his brand, and I've said before, J.J. Watt was my favorite player before he did all this. I actually put some money on Houston thinking they're going to go out there and play with some emotion. Not so much. They definitely didn't play with emotion. So looking back, the Dallas Cowboys, to me, I thought they were ready to maybe poop on themselves. You know, with this whole thing going on with Ezekiel Elliott, I'll get back to that. They got back, and they didn't miss a beat. They looked about like they looked like last year. Once again, Zeke is a beast. He's one of few. If you talk about special running backs in the league, Ezekiel Elliott is one. I got to put Marshawn Lynch back in it real quick. And once again, I don't want to throw people's names in it. That's just been good for a little bit, okay? But Zeke Elliott is one of those guys that will pound you and soften you up, and by the fourth quarter, he's going to have you. Marshawn Lynch is that player as well. There's not too many of them out there. Now, the whole thing with Zeke Elliott and him not playing when he was supposed to play, then he was suspended and he wasn't suspended. If you really look into it deeply, what's happening is Roger Goodell is playing God again, and that's his thing. He plays God. And he doesn't care about evidence. He doesn't care about what anybody thinks. He just wants to implement whatever fine or suspension that he thinks is proper. There's only one problem. You ain't God. And I know I hear people saying, well, the NFL players, they signed the CBA. Listen, let me tell you something, okay? Just because you sign a contract, it doesn't mean that somebody can implement any rules that he wants. That doesn't work that way. It has to be within the law. What he's doing is unlawful. There's no precedent, okay? There's nothing. So the NFL is going back. The NFL PA is coming back. He's suspended. He's off. And listen, I don't know all the law mumbo-jumbo. I just know this, that the players I know are sick and tired of Roger Goodell going against them, okay? You don't have to be for the players, but Roger Goodell is always against the players, okay? And it's to the point now where, you know, he just signed his new deal, which gets, you know, the players don't vote on that, obviously. But Roger Goodell is against the players, and this is the problem. The court of law right now is saying, I don't care what the contract is, you still have to do whatever you do within the law. And Roger Goodell, if you look back at what he's done the last little while, he doesn't care about the law. He believes that he is it. And, you know, to be honest with you, 32 billionaires, I'm not sure that really isn't the law. So the Dallas Cowboys are obviously a, an important entity. And the problem is Goodell is working for the owners, but he's also screwing over the owners a little bit too by taking away Tom Brady or taking away Ezekiel Elliott. So I think he's screwing people on both sides. Now, I told you that all these NFL cities are going to be overreacting. Patriots are going to be terrible. Boy, I had two Jag fans say, "Hey, man, what do you think of my Jags?" I go, "I think they're terrible. I think they won a game." But one game, so Blake Bortles is good now? Just like that. Just like that, he's good. It doesn't work like that. Seahawks can't play anymore. The Seahawks are going to be a good football team. They have good football players, all right? Now, the Seahawks, I said this way back when, and I was right. The Seahawks, when they got rid of Marshawn Lynch and they brought in a Jimmy Graham, they lost their identity. They used to be a roughhousing type of, punch you in the face, run the football, let, Russell Wilson come out and do things with his legs. You still don't want young quarterbacks to be throwing the ball 50, 60 times. You don't want that. Vikings look good, but their quarterback is Sam Bradford. So, I don't know. I mean, it might be a little early for that, It's a little early to say somebody looks good one game, okay? And listen, remember this, when the Bucs played at Chicago on Sunday, don't overreact because a lot of cities are overreacting. Now, the Bucs are, playing the Bears. The Bears lost to the Falcons 23-17. I watched the game. The Bears didn't look terrible. They really didn't. They looked like a serviceable football team. But if I'll be damned, if the game that Mike Glennon played is Mike Glennon in a nutshell, that's him, okay? He's not going to make a big play. He's not going to make a big mistake. He's not going to take any chances. He's not going to really go downfield. And he's just not going to. And usually not going to means win. Because, I've heard coaches say safe is death. I've never seen a safer player than Mike Glennon. I've never, okay? Listen to his line. And listen, it's not terrible, but it's Mike Glennon. And if you go back, and if you're a Buccaneer fan, and you watch all the Mike Glennon games, and I watch every snap Mike Glennon's taken. It's not that many. I watch them all. This is almost every one of his games. 26 for 40 for 213 yards and one touchdown and a loss. That's how he plays. You don't win that way. You don't win that way. If you throw the ball 40 times, you have to have more than 213 yards. It's just you have to. It's in this day and age, you have to. If you watch the game with a lot of swing passes, a lot of five-yard curls, maybe 15 yards tops. If you have a great defense bearing down on him, the Bucs better sack this dude 8 times. He ain't getting away from near a sack. None. Okay? And like when the Bucs had Mike Glennon, if the Bucs weren't better than a team, they lost. And the Bucs weren't better than that many teams back then. So everybody wants to go back statistically and look at Mike Glennon and say, he's a good quarterback. Get the hell out of here. Go back and watch the film. Safe is death. Okay? What do you want a quarterback to be safe for when you're losing every game? I don't want a quarterback to be safe. I want a quarterback to be spinning off of people and making unbelievable plays and taking chances sometimes. You know what? When we're losing, throw an interception every once in a while because you got to take a chance. So I'm not scared of Mike Glennon at all. I'm putting some money in the Buccaneers. I'm sorry. I have to. At home, him coming back to his own team, I think Glennon's going to nut up next week or do exactly what he did. 26 or 40 for 213 yards and the Bucs win by 2 touchdowns. I see that happening. Now, I said earlier, having a fierce defensive line is essential, okay? And the Buccaneers, I think, are on the verge of taking a step. I don't know what step that is, but they're going to take a step forward, no doubt. Now, when I say fierce defensive lines, it's not all about sacks. It's about punishing people, okay? I'm scared the Bucs defensive line is too finesse, okay, because I'm not seeing that from the Bucs defensive line. I'm not seeing fierce, okay? I like fierce. Chris Baker is a guy that can do it, I believe. Now, he's not a finesse player. I know that. He's a big, burly, push-type guy. And listen, it's preseason, so I'm not going to judge somebody off of that. But I'm hoping that when the season starts, he hits a switch and he gets back to doing some gnarly stuff in the middle of that football field. We need push. We need execution. We need tackles from our defensive line. We need plays from our defensive line. We don't get enough plays from our defensive line, period, for me. I'm not worried about our linebacking core. And our defensive backs are going to be just as good as our defensive line. If our defensive line doesn't get a rush, we're dead. We're not good enough anywhere. We have to rush the passer and get in even Mike Glennon's face. Mike Glennon may be the exception. If they lose to Mike Glennon, I'm going to be so pissed. I'm going to be so damn pissed. So to me, being strong up front is essential. And I was talking about running the football. And it's not so, like I said, it's not so much having to run for 150 yards. It's about rushing attempts, softening defenses, slowing down the pass rush. And if you look at all the games, okay, there's a lot of big games this weekend. Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, 24 rushes, 104 yards. 24 attempts, it's a lot of attempts. That means you're giving it to your horse. That's about the right number. 25 attempts in 2017 is a good number for a feature running back. There was a time where they could tote it more, but it's definitely not today. I wouldn't give my running back any more rushes than that. If you look at the Seahawks-Packers game, you know, Russell Wilson was a leading rusher for the Seahawks. They can't win like that. Back in the day when Marshawn Lynch used to have a buck 50, they had another little stumpy guy that used to run the crap out of the ball. That made Russell Wilson better. Without a running game, sometimes he could look very pedestrian. So Seahawks have to run the ball better. Packers, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers, so they don't have to run the ball as effectively. But Aaron would like that, there's no doubt, because he was getting beat up a lot in that game. You look at the Panthers. Panthers had 38 attempts. Forget about their yards, okay? They didn't have a crazy yard per carry, but they had 38 attempts. The Niners had 15 rushing attempts, and they beat them down. The Niners suck out loud. The Kansas City Patriots game, normally the Patriots are one team that kind of mess up myths. But when you have Kareem Hunt running all over the place for a buck 50, he made some pretty damn big plays. And they ran it, and they ran it, and they ran it. The Raiders and the Titans, both up-and-coming teams, Marshawn Lynch just softens defenses. And he runs hard, bro. He runs hard. He's a guy that I want to block for. His linemen love him. I know they do. Derek Carr, 32 attempts, a quarterback from the Raiders. That's what you want your young quarterback to do. 32 attempts is perfect, okay? Jameis Winston. You don't want Jameis Winston throwing the ball 55 times. You still don't. Because if Jameis Winston throws the ball 55 times, he's going to throw two picks. That's the way it goes. 30, 35 tops. I like closer to 30 myself. And you look at the Vikings, they had Dalvin Cook that was going off. Dalvin Cook looked good in the first week. So this passing game and all this crap of how you got it, it's a passing league. No, it's a physical league. It's always been a physical league. And it's one in the trenches, which happens to be the name of this podcast. So listen, you know where my allegiance is. Give me a good offensive line. Give me a good defensive line. I'll win some games for you. That's in any level. That's in any level. Pop Warner, college, high school, pros, doesn't matter. CFL, all good. So that's where the Buccaneers got to figure out a way to improve as they go through this year. Their offensive line, their defensive line has to be dominant. That's why they're going to win football games. And then having this young kid, Jameis Winston, at the helm, leadership, building more leadership around this team, Quan Alexander, people like that. This team's on the way. And let me tell you, missing a week, you know, may be a blessing. You never know at the end. But, you know, Tony Dungy used to always say you got to deal with adversity. And if this is adversity, it's going to get a lot worse. It really is. Because it's a long football season. And when you're winning games, you know, there's a lot of pressure. If you look at Tom Brady and you look at Bill Belichick, do they look at ease ever? It's a lot of pressure in winning. A lot. And it's really hard to consistently win. And that's why you got to tip your hats to the Pats. You can say what you want. Pats are going to win freaking football games this year. They're going to be in the playoffs, and you're not going to want to face them. That's for sure. They just dealt with a new system. They dealt with new players, and a lot of different things were going on. They'll figure it out. They always do. Now, if you guys have any questions, you can contact me, Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. I also have another podcast, Flavor in Your Ear, which comes out Friday morning. I might be talking a little bit more about the Buccaneers football game. But this is the one that I have fun and talk football every week in the trenches. Be coming out every Monday. It's truly your best Bucks coverage in this area. And I know a lot of people are asking me, when am I going to hear you talk on the radio? I do have a show on Sunday and Saturday. Saturday, Tailgater University on 102.5 The Bone. Sunday, Ian Beckles show from 11 to 1. And actually, next week, I'll be filling in for Mike Calta all week long with Greg Wolf and the lovely Monica. And we'll be hanging out from 6 to 10 every morning. So you get a chance to hear me there on 102.5 The Bone. And once again, when I'm done with the show on Monday, I'll come back here, do my podcast, and I'll be spitting all the football knowledge that I have, because not everybody wants to hear just football. But if you tune into a podcast that's called In the Trenches, I would hope that football's on your mind. So everybody have a wonderful week. I hope you stayed safe and dry from Irma, but I'm happy that bitch is gone. I am tired of Irma. I really am. Have a great week and be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is the Crush Report with Jeff Crushell.
Is it possible that your vision could determine how good you are at something? We spoke with Dr. Daniel Levy.
Yeah, it's really a pedigree. You know, each different sport has a different requirement for the visual package, if you will. With the Olympic team, we found that the boxers, for example, don't have great visual acuity, sharpness, but they don't need it because the target is close, but they have pretty good depth perception. Whereas the archers had wonderful sharpness of vision, but they had terrible depth perception. It all makes sense because the archery target is flat and there's no 3D of the target, and they usually are monocular, looking at one eye at the sight and the other eye at the target in archery, and so they're not using both eyes together. So you wouldn't expect good depth perception, but they better see sharply because the target is far away and the target is very small. Whereas the boxers need to have 3D vision because they're having to judge how far their opponent is and how close the oncoming punch is and so forth. The fencers, excellent, excellent depth perception, probably the best, I think, overall. So you can almost take a young kid who's athletic, look at their visual abilities, and maybe put a little bit of extra time in to make sure they're able to work even better in the sports that they match to, as opposed to sports they just may enjoy, but probably don't have a chance to become elite at.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Crushell, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.